Rick Ball is the Calgary Flames play-by-play voice in Sportsnet, and Rick Ball joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Rick, thanks so much for doing this morning.
Hey, Jeff. My pleasure. Having a tough time hearing you, so hopefully...
That's okay. I'll scream.
Sorry for your questions.
Where are you? Are you at the morning skate?
Yeah, I'm sitting inside the beautiful ACC watching the mighty Maple Leafs go through their morning skate.
Any extra work being done in shootouts? Not yet.
Not yet. They just did the line rushes. We'll see.
Tell us about the Flames. I think the Flames, it's been a better year. It looks like it's going to be a much better year for Canadian teams than it was last year in terms of Canadian teams making the playoffs. Where are the Flames, Rick, if you had to look at a sort of a timeline of development, where are the Flames right now in their timeline for development?
Well, I think where they are in the standings is a pretty good reflection of where they are in terms of their arc as a franchise. Team, I think, that can battle for a playoff spot. Unlikely to be a top three team in the division, but one of those wild card spots I think is realistic at this point. They've got some really nice pieces, but right now it hasn't totally come together. Their goaltending has been sort of off and on, bad and good this season. Mm-hmm. It was a problem that plagued them all last year when they had Jonas Hiller and Kari Ramo. They just couldn't get consistent goaltending. They changed both goalies and gone with Brian Elliott and Chad Johnson. I think there was a lot of excitement in Calgary over the acquisition of Elliott from St. Louis because he put together five really good years with the Blues with some very impressive numbers in that stretch and really has not been able to get that kind of success in Calgary yet. Chad Johnson's actually been the more surprising story. Brought in as kind of the other guy, and he's been terrific for stretches this season, but the last handful of games for him have not been very good. So it's been a little up and down between the pipes, and it's been up and down in virtually every area of the Flames game this season. They had a tough start. They got rolling. They won a bunch of games in a row, and lately they've kind of been treading water. So they sit in a playoff spot now, but they're only a point up on Vancouver. The Canucks have a game or two in hand, I believe. And that's kind of where they are. But you look at the sort of cornerstone pieces going forward for this team. Matthew Tkachuk, home run at the draft this past year. I mean, this kid is unbelievable. He just turned 19 recently. Doesn't play at all like a 19-year-old. And I'm not talking about skill necessarily. He's got that, obviously. And he certainly has the hockey pedigree. But just in heart and lack of fear, the guy is amazing. You watch him play tonight, he'll get punched in the head 9 times. He's a teenager, not afraid to go to the front of the net, not afraid to get under the skin of opponents. Not afraid, I think, is the key phrase there. And that was a real home run for the Flames, and he's just started his NHL career, and I think it's going to be a great one. Michael Backlund is having a breakout season. And I know he's a little bit older, but he's still got a lot of tread left on his tires. He has been just remarkable this season, playing with Tkachuk and with Michael Frolik. Sam Bennett's had a bit of a tough year, but he's still a kid. Johnny Gaudreau, we all know what he can do, even though he's gone quiet here in the last dozen games or so. He only has 4 points and one goal, and I know he's very frustrated coming off that hand injury, but he's one of the most dynamic players in the NHL. Sean Monahan has proven to be a scorer in this league. He has goals in 5 consecutive games. These guys are all young, so
right.
Dougie Hamilton back on the blue line has really found his game since they put him with Mark Giordano, so they've got some good key pieces that are very young, if not rookies, almost. So the future is bright, but I'm not sure they've been able to find their identity yet.
Right.
This season anyway, and that's definitely been a work in progress.
Well, and that's something that happens too when you've got a bunch of young players, isn't it? I mean, it does take young players a while because, quite frankly, you're talking about a lot of players who don't know their own identity yet, let alone being able to become part of a team's identity.
That's so true, and you also have to learn how to win. I mean, I think one of the reasons Matthew Tkachuk has been so successful early in his career, amongst many, is the fact that they were so successful in London. And it'd be interesting to see him play against his own line mate, Mitch Marner, tonight. But that guy knows how to win, and I think as a team with young players, they have to start believing that they can do it. And what I've noticed, I think what's happened is opponents, because the Flames got on a run here, and I think early in the season they were struggling. Some teams probably didn't take them that seriously. Then they started playing much better, and Calgary's getting the A game out of most of their opponents now when they see them, and they've got to figure out a way to beat teams when the other team is bringing their A game to the rink. And I think that's one of the problems when you have a lot of young players is that they have to learn how to do that. So that's a process. But overall, I think the future is pretty bright for Calgary, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're in the playoff picture at the end of the season.
Rick Ball is the play-by-play voice of the Flames on Sportsnet. You mentioned Sean Monahan. He got a shorthanded goal in that 7-3 loss to the Oilers on Saturday. That's 8 shorthanded goals now for the Flames this year, which leads the NHL. That goal-scoring streak is 5 games. It's a career high, and it's the second longest streak in the NHL this season. I think James Neal, I believe, had had a 6 or 7 goal scoring streak. Talk to me a little bit about that, the special teams, and especially the penalty kill. I mean, 8 shorthanded goals is that's a pretty healthy tally at this stage of the season.
Yeah, it is. Part of the reason is that they've been shorthanded more than any other team in the league.
That'll do it.
I'm only half kidding. Their PK has been really good. In fact, their power play, both their special teams, have been terrific since the beginning of December. And again, that's a sign of the evolution and the growth of this team, because at the start of the year, with the new coaching staff, Glenn Gullitson taking over from Bob Hartley, the power play and the PK were awful for the first month and a half of the season. And the coaching staff just preached patience. They said, you know, just wait. We're learning a new system here. And they were right. One of the changes they made, though, is they went to 2 different units that have different looks. They have their top unit is a 4-forward, 1-defenseman set up, where they use Versteeg and Johnny Gaudreau kind of on the flanks and Brody back at the point. And that's a real passing unit. And putting Versteeg on the power play, didn't have him on there earlier. That was a really good pickup. He was actually destined to play in Switzerland this year and had insurance issues. So he went to Edmonton on a pro tryout and wound up signing in Calgary. And he's been a real nice addition to the Flames, especially for the power play. And when they added him to that first power play, and things really took off. Him and Gaudreau do such a great job moving the puck around. They sort of both set up on the opposite half walls, and they've been very successful. And then the second unit is the backroom line with Frolik and Tkachuk and 2 defensemen, and that's more of a shooting look. So they're able to throw a couple of different looks at teams when they bring up, depending on which unit they bring out, and I think it's caused a lot of problems for opponents. And so they've been scoring a ton of goals in the power play. And then their PK, for whatever reason, has really come around. I think they're just getting more comfortable with the way Gullitson wants them to play and their positioning. And they've given up a few more goals lately, but overall for the past 2 months, they've had the best special teams in the league.
What's the biggest difference between this team this year and this team last year, from your point of view? What difference has the coach made?
They definitely play differently, and it's not a surprise, because when Bob Hartley was let go and Brad Skrzydling, the Flames general manager, talked about why, he talked about he felt they had to play differently. Bob Hartley's teams, it's a lot of stretch passes, chip and chase, high tempo, defenseman joining the rush, fun to watch, probably not sustainable long-term when you want to string a bunch of wins together and compete in the playoffs. And the philosophy of the management group was that we need to be more of a puck possession team. And I think there was a clash there with Bob, even though he had been successful. And 2 years ago, they made the playoffs playing that way, and it was a lot of fun. They had 10 third-period comebacks that year, which was just remarkable. But, you know, that was kind of lightning in a bottle. And then it fell off the rails last year, and they felt they just had to play more of a puck possession game to be competitive, sustainably competitive. So that's what they do now. You see the puck support's a lot better. The passes are a lot shorter. There's a lot less of the stretch pass, chip into the neutral zone, defenseman joining the rush. You know, their blue line was just high-flying for the last couple of years, and they piled up a ton of points from the back end. They're still getting production, but not nearly as much. And people are wondering, you know, what's wrong with Giordano and the guys that were scoring a bunch. It's not anything necessarily wrong with what they're doing. It's just that they're playing a different system, and they're not as involved offensively because they're concentrating more on playing a sounder defensive game. So I think, you know, for anybody who watched a lot of Calgary the last couple of years, that's the number one thing they will notice in terms of how they play.
Hey, Rick, does it matter in Calgary what Edmonton is doing? Does it matter what the Oilers, you know, where the Oilers are on their track, their development track, whatever you want to call it? Does it make that big a deal in Calgary?
As an organization, probably not. As a fan base, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the Yankees and the Red Sox right there, right? So
yeah.
There's a lot of hatred, but it makes it fun. And you know what? Quite frankly, I'm excited because I think these teams both have the potential. This has the potential to be the 80s rivalry all over again.
Right.
You know, when you had 2 of the best teams in the league in one province. And it's been a while since that's even been a remote possibility. So just the notion of having the Oilers and the Flames with a bunch of great young players going forward for the next 5, 6, 7 years and doing battle in Alberta, I think you got to be excited if you're a fan of either of those teams, because it's been so long. I mean, the Oilers have been so bad for such a long time, and the Flames have kind of been hit and miss. And I think, you know, obviously the future of the Oilers is bright with Connor McDavid. I think you put him on any team in the league and they're immediately 25% better. But, you know, they've got some great young pieces too, and maybe the best player in the game right now. And the Flames are in the same boat with a lot of great young players. So I think fans love to hate the other team, but at the end of the day, the fact that there is that hate makes those games that they play against each other a lot of fun in both cities.
And I was going to ask you, I would think from an organizational point of view, if you're the Flames, I mean, you've got to stick to your plan, right? You can't let your plan be influenced by what's going on to the north.
No, because what can you do unless you start getting desperate and making erratic trades to, you know, try and improve immediately? And that's definitely not in the DNA of Brad Tre Living. He's a real smart guy, and I think he's done a great job putting this team together to this point. There's still some holes they have to fill. I still think they need another center iceman. If you're asking me what the Flames need to add, I mean, they've got Sam Bennett playing at center, but at this point in his career, you know, it really is just a second-year player, but he may be better suited to play on the wing,
right?
Which means they'll have to add somebody, and probably one more defenseman too. I think their top three is very good, and you know, their bottom pairing is very good for a bottom pairing with Derek Englund playing down there, but they're probably one guy short on the back end. It's probably the same thing that every team in the league could say.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can find a way to add another center iceman, a good faceoff guy, and maybe bolster their blue line, I think that'll go a long way to improving the team. But, you know, looking north on the highway and seeing what the Oilers are doing and letting that impact how you develop your team would be foolish. Because you really have no control over what they're doing. You can only control what you do, and the last thing you want to do is start making a bunch of crazy moves out of desperation.
Well, it's 10 to 11 Eastern time, and the Flames are in town, and so far, as far as we know, no Dougie Hamilton rumors. Can we pretty much, those can be put to bed, I presume?
Yeah, what happened, like, he had a tough start to the year. He had a tough start last year, too, quite frankly, when he got traded from Boston. But people just wrote that off as coming to a new team. That can, you know, a young guy, that can be difficult sometimes. Same thing happened this year for the first month and a half of the season. That's what all those rumors were flying around. But middle of November, Flames mixed up their defensive pairings. They put Dougie Hamilton with Mark Giordano, and it's been nothing but successful since then. He is really playing well. And, you know, I know when Brian Burke went on the defense for his player and talked about what he brings to the table, and you know, 6 foot five, 230-pound guys who can shoot the puck and skate like he can, right shot defensemen don't grow on trees. And if every team in the league is looking for a guy like that, why would they trade him? And you know, there may have been a little fire to the smoke initially when he wasn't playing very well, but the way it's been going for the last 2.5 months, I'd be shocked if they move number 27, because you know, he's definitely playing like the guy they thought they were getting when they made that trade 2 summers ago with the Bruins.